I'd like to welcome you to the IRA informational meeting. We apologize for 2 years of remote meetings, and we are certainly looking forward to seeing everyone in the town hall next year in person. The pandemic has been difficult for everyone, and we are looking forward to moving on. Nathan Hewitt and Bob Toppin, we're here at the town office. Jeff Barden is here with us as a school board member and as our IT person running the computer. Deb Perry, town treasurer, and Karen Davis, town clerk, are both remote. Okay, so we're going to call this meeting to order at 7 o'clock p.m.
So this is a select board requirement, and Nathan and I are reviewing the agenda for the night, and I'll move to approve it.
Okay, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So I'd like to introduce Mary Mittige. She served as our town moderator for several years, and she's going to be our facilitator for this evening's informational meeting. I'll make a motion to have Mary facilitate this meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mary, it's all yours.
Thank you, Nathan. So being a remote meeting, I think we all know what we experienced last year. It's an informational meeting only. That means we will not be voting today. Voting will be tomorrow at our town office from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. So just a few logistics. You know, I think most everybody's on a computer, but if there is anybody on a phone, it may get a little more complicated. But as we go through the articles and we have reports that we hear from, I will ask for people to ask any questions, ask for clarification, add their comments. And way I would typically do it, and there is somebody on their phone right now. What we usually do is just have people use the little raise hand feature down at the bottom, and I will try and keep track of the order and just make sure that we get to everybody, that you can answer questions. We do ask to have people keep your microphone muted. And, you know, and if you raise your hand to speak, I'll try and get to you and call on you, and you can unmute at that point. If you're on your phone, you use the star 6 feature and you push those and it will mute and unmute your phone. Okay, so let's start with our school board meeting. I know Lewis is with us and we can ask him to give us he does the report in our annual report. But he usually gives us a little bit more information here at the meeting and then can respond to some questions as we go through the budget. Lewis, you want to talk about the school?
Yep. You want me to go now?
Sure.
Good evening, everyone. So I'm just going to hit on a few highlights of the IRA budget for this coming school year. So right now, expense budget is $754,391. Which is an increase of $80,450. As you know, IRA tuitions all of their students pre-K through 12, and not having a school, you really have limited control over your expenses from year to year. You're really, your budget is based on how many students are in your town each year, and that can deviate from year to year based on families moving in or moving out throughout the year. Because IRA has got to a level where you only have approximately 35 students, that even a few students moving in or out each year can have a significant impact on your budget because your budget has shrunk so small over the last few years. So right now, your expense budget is up about $80,000, and that is due to an increase in students, a majority of that. We're estimating an additional 4.5 students for next year as compared to this year. So this year's budget is based on 34 tuition students, and next year's budget is based on 38.5. This also takes into account increases in tuition rates, and we're seeing increases in tuition anywhere between 0% from some schools all the way up to over 14% for others. So that could really have a large impact from year to year as well. So we do our best to estimate. We usually use a 3% estimate to start, and then as announced tuitions come in, we try to revise those if we have time before we have to present this to the taxpayers. Announced tuition rates aren't due until January 15th, which is cutting it close with our timeline on presenting the budget. Education spending, which is the amount we have to raise in property taxes, that would be your total expense minus any local revenues. Local revenues is anything other than property taxes. So that could be any interest income, surplus revenues from the prior year, or any assessment refunds that we're getting from the SU, or any other revenue sources that we may have. But those are the typical three that we have. So right now, education spending is up about $74,000. So that's the increase that we'll see in property taxes, or the amount we have to raise in property taxes. So based on that education spending, we're looking at a spending per pupil of $17,855 for next year. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the state yield. So to figure out the tax rate, we take your education spending per pupil and we divide it by the state yield. This is a number that comes out from it's decided by the legislators during the session. It's usually not until around April or sometimes even May. So right now we're using an estimate. Right now the Ed Fund is sitting with a surplus of approximately $90 million. We have been told or recommended by the AOE to not count on that whole surplus being used to lower property taxes across Vermont. To estimate approximately half of that being given back to taxpayers. So the state yield is depending on how much equalized across the state, how much we have to raise in property taxes. And so the estimate that we've been given from the state is a yield of 12,937, which is an increase of 14%, which is a factor that as that yield increases, it lowers your local tax rate. So seeing a 14% increase in the yield is having a positive impact on keeping your tax rates stable, even though you're seeing an increase in expense and education spending. So the estimated tax rate based on that state yield is $1.38, which is a 4% decrease over from last year. So that's estimating your taxes are going to go down by about 6 cents. That's prior to the CLA. The CLA is the common level appraisal, and that compares the fair market value of your homes to the assessed value of your homes. Anybody that's been looking at real estate knows that you can see there's not a lot of houses on the market. They've been the inventory is low, which means prices are high. So fair market values have been increasing, which is going to drive down CLA, which means that your fair market value is higher than your assessed value. And so when the CLA, when the fair market value goes up, your CLA goes down, and that has a negative effect on your tax rate. So that increases your local taxes. CLA for IRA went from 96 to 89.5. Which is a 6.9% decrease. So that what that's saying is that your fair market value of your homes in IRA as a whole went up by 7% over the last year. So the estimated tax rate after the CLA adjustment is $1.54, which is a 5 cent increase over last year. So it's a 3% increase in your tax rate. I think those are the key points I'll take any questions if on the budget. Like I said, most of it is tuition, but if there's any questions regarding the tax rate calculation or other factors that are making up the budget, let me know.
I do see one raised hand from Ben. Ben, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, it's actually me, Madeline, but we're both together. So my question is to Lewis is how, so the yield, so at this point that, say that $45 million, half of that $90 million that's in surplus is not, has not been factored into this equations or these equations as of yet.
So 45 million of the 90 million is factored into this. Oh, the other 45 million is not. And we, at this time, we don't know what the state is going to do with that money. There's many discussions that are going on during the legislative session. So if you go online, you could probably look at some of the bills and see what they're talking about. But that is not factored in here. Whether that will roll over to next year or be used in some other fashion, or the third option is they could increase that yield and use more of that surplus to drive down taxpayers' local tax rates.
Okay, so only half of the 90 million has already been factored in.
Correct.
Yep. So, but it could go down to 40 million or 35 or something. And again, it just this right now it's a ballpark.
Correct. It's just an estimate at this time.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? Otherwise, we can just read through the articles. Article 1 was to elect the school officers as required by law. There'll be two officers to vote for on the ballot tomorrow. It will be the school moderator for a one-year term and a school director for a three-year term. And Article 2 is the school budget. Shall the voters of the IRA school district approve the school board to expend $754,391.72, which is the amount the school board has determined to be necessary for the ensuing fiscal year. And that will be a vote by Australian ballot tomorrow. It is estimated that this proposed budget, if approved, will result in all education spending of $17,855 per equalized pupil. This projected spending per equalized pupil is 9.7% more than spending for the current year. So, any other questions or comments? You can raise your hand. Lewis or any Lance and Jeff is at the town office. They're all members of our current school board. Okay. Just a reminder, if you're on the phone, if you'd like to speak or have a question, you can use the *6 buttons and it will unmute your phone. Okay, I don't know if it's Ben or Madeline.
Yeah, so what happens if we vote the school budget down? Does that save us 700 and whatever thousand?
Typically when you vote the budget down, the board would meet again and decide how could they adjust the budget to get the taxpayer approval. Because you tuition all your students out, there's really not much you can do other than take some tuition revenue out. But in that case, if those students, it's really taking a gamble, because if those students still continue to go to school next year, you would run a deficit because you're liable to fund their education. So having to have another election would cost the taxpayers money to run that election. And then there's also the potential of running a deficit and the cost of interest on having to borrow that money to fund that deficit.
I would just add, if we were a town that operated our own school and the budget was voted down, we could then, you know, make decisions around cutting staff or cutting building costs, and there'd be a lot of areas we could look at cutting. But in our situation, we don't have any of those avenues to look at. So as Lewis would say, stated, we really wouldn't have options.
Thank you.
Thank you. Was there any other questions or comments? All right, with that, and do we need to have a motion, Nathan and Bob, to move to adjourn that meeting?
I don't think so. We can just move on to the next line.
Okay. Then if we go to their regular annual town meeting, we start with Article 1. To elect town officers as required by law. And on the ballot tomorrow, there'll be auditor for 3-year term, delinquent tax collector for a 1-year term, first constable for a 2-year term, a lister for a 3-year term, town moderator for 1-year term, and select board member for 3-year term. So just remember, it's all voting via Australian ballot at the town office between 10 and 7. So that goes to Article 2. Shall the voters authorize payment of real and personal property taxes to the town treasurer on or before October 18th, 2022? Are there any questions or comments about that article? All right, thank you. Then we'll go to Article 3. Shall the voters authorize a total expenditure of $320,393 for the town general fund and highway fund for the fiscal year of July 1st, 2022 to June 30th, 2023, for which $238,590 shall be raised by taxes and $81,000 $803 by non-property tax revenue. Would Bob or Nathan have any comments, anything to report, any details you have on that?
Yep, go ahead.
The budget for fiscal year 23, the highway in town, the fiscal year 2022 was at $314,843. 2023 is at $320,393. So the surplus, there was a surplus from 2021 town and highway of $10,254. And it, as a result, the taxes will be fairly flat for this year. A few notes on the road situation with the unusual weather that we've had this winter. The town roads have suffered some damage. The heavy rain and the snow in the ditches froze solid, and 4 culverts had to be thawed. Regardless of John's efforts to put in turnouts before the rain, the water jumped the ditches, and we'll have to go back in the springtime and clean up some of those areas. Please note that the town truck was purchased in the spring of 2016, and you will see in the capital fund an increase of $15,000 to put money aside for repairs and eventually replacement. The original plan was to replace the truck in 7 years. The capital fund is set up to do maintenance on the grader, backhoe, and plow truck sander, and leftover money is transferred, if available, into the equipment fund. Another project that we're working on here in town is the salt shed, town garage, and fire department. We were looking down the road trying to upgrade our facilities to meet state requirements, and a grant was received and a conceptual site design and site assessment is in draft form. A public engagement event will be held later this spring Both Timoth and Middletown Springs are going through the same exercise, trying to prepare for the future.
Any other questions for Nathan or Bob? Okay, hearing none, I'll go on to the next article. Okay, there was just some. All right, Article 4. Shall the voters appropriate $11,520 to be raised by taxes for the Rutland County Sheriff's Department, in addition to $12,000 included in the general fund expenditures in Article 3 above, for a total of $23,520?
Hello.
Any questions or comments on that?
Hello, am I live with you people?
Yep.
Bob, this is Dick Patrick. Listen, I'm having a hard time I'm getting repeats from, I don't talk to anybody, but I have a couple questions about the what you're doing with the roads or not doing the roads. And I know we had a tough time last week. And my understanding is that you've got some proposals out there to redo the West Road junction at 133. And with all the snow and water that we had last week, I don't see where there's any problem at that junction where that would be tore up and have new roads or have new culverts put in at all. There's no water down there at all. And I also understand you want to move the pavement from all the way up to the town office driveway. And with the oil prices the way they are, I don't think we can afford any pavement at all on IRA. Secondly, I understand that you want to put a 3-foot culvert in up by Jeff Posebutz, just above his house. I think what it needs there is to continue the ditch from where you started down to Jeff's house and put an 18-inch culvert across there would take care of that problem. And with the washouts that you're talking about, I think up just below Jason Savini's house down to where Bob or down to where John has his sap line that washes every year. That's where the money should be spent, not down at the town hall redoing that entrance. There's nothing wrong down there.
You have my off mute.
Bob and Nathan, would you want to respond?
Sure. Thank you, Dick, for your input. The thought on reworking the intersection and redoing the blacktop is if there is stimulus money available from the federal government, we were looking for projects that were perhaps above and beyond what the taxpayers can normally pay. The culvert underneath the West Road coming from the church to the town hall is an old culvert, metal culvert, and it is scheduled with our culvert inventory at some point to be replaced. So we were trying to get bids in, and the bids, of course, that we got 6 months ago aren't appropriate anymore, just with all that's going on and prices going way up of both culverts and blacktop. But we were looking for projects that if stimulus money was available, perhaps that might be something that we could take advantage of. the culvert up by Posey Bucks between there and Sarah Melling's